This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, June 22nd. Well, we came out of the weekend with a bit of pressure in the grain complex. There was some decent rains across the Midwest, especially Iowa, and the forecast for more to come as we get deeper into this week. So that certainly was some pressure coming into the row crops. Wheat markets following corn for the most part. We did see some scattered rains across North Dakota as well. And harvest, of course, is ongoing in Kansas. Now, we have seen some light rain delays there. There was a fair amount of rain that came through the southeast corner of Kansas, but the heat, of course, is going to dry that off very quickly, and they'll be back in the field expected today, and it should be open cutting for a few days. We are seeing some nice yields coming out of Kansas, about as expected, looking at record yields in many of these areas. And big bushels in good quality, test weight 62, seeing a lot of 62, 61s. Protein is a little bit lower than last year, which is not surprising considering the high yields. So we're seeing the harvest continuing to add some pressure to the wheat market. But it's spring wheat that looks to be carrying the load here. And on the night session, we are looking at spring wheat sharply higher. We're up about 30. And the winter wheats are up 4 or 5, just really can't get much going on the upside. And we do see corn and soybeans trading lower. Beans down about 15, corn is down about 6. But it's Minneapolis that's carrying the day, supporting the broader wheat complex, not necessarily the entire grain complex. But it's a heavy lift for Minneapolis to be the leader, but it clearly is doing that. And crop condition ratings yesterday afternoon would be a big reason for that, where we saw spring wheat take a 10-point drop in good to excellent ratings. We're only sitting at 27% good to excellent, which is, again, is down 10 from last week. North Dakota, the leader there, they're sitting at just 19% good to excellent, and at 50% poor to very poor. So it's a disaster unfolding in North Dakota. Not a big surprise for those who've been following it, but still, that's a pretty big hit for the by far the biggest producer of spring wheat. Montana sitting okay at 43%. So we've seen, Montana kind of, we're on the edge. Of course, eastern Montana is part of that broader heat wave that's engulfing North Dakota and South Dakota. But they've had some rains, and so it's kind of hit and miss for Montana. And same thing with winter wheat. We're at 43% good to excellent there. Winter wheat nationwide was up 1 at 49% good to excellent. That's becoming less and less of a factor, of course, as you're well into harvesting Kansas. You'll be in harvest in the northern plains here within a few weeks. So it's not we don't expect to see huge changes in winter wheat crop condition ratings. So it's all about spring wheat, and it looks like that is not a market that's willing to give up. We've been in a sideways pattern for spring wheat for several days, and it looked to me like we're probably going to take one more push down, but we're not getting that. We're gapping higher on Tuesday and above the trading range. So my guess now is that unless you fail today, that's probably going to be some kind of a gap and go type of formation. And we're breaking away from this trading range to the upside. We're not getting much help from any other place, so that alone could be somewhat of a drag, because it's going to be pretty tough for spring wheat really to carry the entire grain complex. And again, we're seeing more pressure coming into the soybeans and corn. Not that that's collapsing by any means. There too, we're still in kind of a minor trading range, and it sure seems like corn probably is going to see one more push down to complete some formations, kind of take out some stop areas and see what we have. Soybeans, I think, have found their low last week. We'll probably come back down and retest that low before we complete that formation as well. And then I think as we get into July, I look for the markets to take another big leg up. So we're looking for just kind of the last tail end of a larger correction formation. I think that will take us down into next week, which of course is going to be the plantings and stocks report. And both of those are going to be very important reports. We expect corn stocks to continue to erode more than what USDA has really kind of suggested in their supply demand reports. We also expect to see the plantings for corn be higher than the March plantings report. It's just a matter of how much and where those acres came from. So I think there's going to be a lot of nail biting as we come into those reports. And I would suggest to have, if you're going to have a bullish position on, whether it's just straight outright futures or a combination of that and options, I would have most of that position in place before those reports. Now, it's obviously possible we could get a bearish report. I think if we do, it would come from corn in acres that are higher than expected, but I would not expect that a bearish reaction to last very long. And so I do want to be prepared for more hot and dry weather to move back into the Midwest during the month of July, which is the most important month as we get into the pollination phase. And I would expect pollination to be just slightly earlier this year because plantings were well ahead of the average pace. So likely we're going to see pollination be earlier as well, especially with the heat that's been going on, would be pushing that crop along. Looking at the world situation, we are definitely kind of the drier pocket. We've seen Ukraine just have ideal rains. They're on track for record yields and I think record production. Russia is definitely a mixed bag. The southern region of Russia, which is where exportable supplies come from, has had an okay growing season so far. As you get into the Volga region, which is more of the eastern and northeast part of southern Russia, and then up into central Russia, which is more spring wheat country, and into Kazakhstan, they've not had an ideal season. They're not quite as bad as North Dakota, but it's definitely been dry there. And now we're seeing a wave of heat come into there as well. So there's some chatter about Sukhovay winds coming down across that region, which is, as anybody who's lived in the Northern Plains knows, can be just brutal. The hot, dry winds, it just sucks the life right out of the wheat crop. And that is some of the chatter going on in Russia. And the conditions certainly are ripe for that. So we're looking at, and again, that's spring wheat country. So spring wheat around the world, looking at some pretty rough conditions. And of course, Canada's prairies, the southern prairies, pretty much are seeing the same conditions as the U.S. Northern Plains. It's all the same region, according to Mother Nature. They too have had some spotty rains, and it's you can't just say it's just a complete massive wipeout. But it's definitely a rough season so far. We're going to see production really start to shave off here. And that's obviously why the trade is buying Minneapolis. They're looking at these week-to-week crop condition ratings and making their yield estimates off of that. And this deep into the growing season, you're about a good halfway there, halfway home, and you've only got North Dakota in 27%, or excuse me, 19% good to excellent ratings. That's not a good picture developing. So spring wheat's going to lead the way higher for wheat, unless you get something going in corn and beans, which is still a very high probability. Then I think Chicago will take off. It'll follow corn more closely than the other two wheat markets. And Chicago will be a leader briefly. And those spreads could narrow with Minneapolis. They could widen back out against Kansas City. But those are opportunities just waiting to be pounced on if that happens. So we're just watching it. You know, the month of July is just around the corner, and that's going to be the deal breaker or deal maker for corn and soybeans. And that's where you're going to see much more volatility in the market. When it comes to prices around the world, U.S. Gulf soft red winter was just down 1. We're sitting at 280. Hard red was down 2 at 285. In Ukraine, we're seeing some pressure out of the Black Sea in the European region. Ukraine was down $13 at 245. Russia down 5 at 254. France down 12 at 249. Argentina was up 2 at 281. And Russian feed wheat was down 17 at 241. So the Black Sea, I think, responding more to what's going on in Ukraine and southern Russia. Of course, those are where your exportable supplies come from, and that looks good. As you get deeper into Russia, not so great, and we already have record high wheat and flour and bread prices across much of the interior of Russia, which is why there's an export tax in the first place. I think this developing issue for spring wheat production in Russia would probably prompt the government to keep that tax in place, at least through the early part of the marketing year. So that's going to continue to create uncertainty as far as just exactly what FOB offers would be. And I think that's going to keep the Russian export program kind of subdued, at least initially, where normally they're just, you know, firing, you know, both barrels blazing when it comes to export offers really by now, especially if they're looking at decent production coming out of the southern region. But that's just not the case. And I would expect that continue to be the situation for them for at least the first couple months after harvest. So harvest is mainly July. So the first quarter probably of the marketing year, I would expect Russia's probably not going to be much of a player, just simply because of the spring wheat situation and the tax situation, that it's going to be difficult for them to be aggressive in their exports. Ukraine, I think, is just an open road for them. With Russia, if Russia is more subdued, it really just leaves the doors wide open for Ukraine. And basically, it just props up world price, because Russia was always the leader to the downside. And if they're not much of a player, that keeps world prices elevated. And here in the United States, we would stay elevated because of high corn and bean prices. And the demand for feed wheat coming off the combine in the southern and central plains just continues to support the entire grain complex. So, you know, moving forward, yeah, you're going to get some harvest pressure, but I think it'll be short-lived. And as we work our way through July, in particular, when normally you would see wheat really under a lot of pressure, not only from U.S. harvest, but the rest of the world ramping up their harvest, I could envision a situation where we're not under that much pressure at all. And especially if corn and beans are moving higher, I don't see U.S. wheat moving lower. It would move higher along with the row crops, and that would help support the broader world market. So that said, you know, the U.S. corn prices have dropped, the U.S. soybean prices have dropped, and the rest of the world has dropped as well. U.S. Gulf old crop corn new crop corn is down $17 at $2.68. Argentina down $23. Brazil down $24. Ukraine down $27. So certainly world corn prices have come under pressure over the last week. And soybean prices have really taken a hit. U.S. Gulf down $40 a ton. We're at $5.20. Argentina down $39 at $5.01. Brazil down $31 at $5.32. So row crops under pressure, as you know, following the lead of the United States. But again, we're headed into July. So while right in front of us, time-wise, I do think we still have some more downside to go. But longer term, as we get into July, I think there's a very good chance that this market takes another leg up that would at least test the highs from early June and most likely take those out. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.